This is how we play. This is what we do.
The Pete Carroll Show. The first word from the Seahawks head coach every Monday at 9:30 with Danny and Gallant.
Let's capture exactly how this happened and just keep on recreating it one week at a time.
Presented by Banner Bank on 710 ESPN Seattle.
Coach, I don't know if you got to sleep last night. I know that I had a hard time because of how excited everybody
Funny
was.
You should bring that up. No, go ahead.
Congratulations, man. That was an unbelievable game.
That sure was. Yeah, that was another way to to have a crazy finish. You know, we found another one. And, man, it was really fun to see our guys perform like that, see us come back after halftime, you know, and come roaring back. You know, there's been a lot of years where we've seen those kinds of just avalanche of activity in the game that just changes and shifts the whole momentum of it. And that was just a classic one. And everything's so fast and so sudden. That was great. But, yeah, it was really a fun game and great going into the bye. Got to get this break and take advantage of it and come roaring back and get started again.
What did it mean for your defense to be able to get that fourth and one stop? This was a game where Minnesota, really, they ran the football very well.
I don't know what it means to them. You know, it was awesome. Freaking great moment in the game, you know, and a great moment in football when you can stop somebody that right, you know, and that's the whole game lies, you know, on that foot and a half they got to make, you know, and so, we're going crazy because we know that we got a chance to win the game right there, you know, and so that was, I don't know what it means though, you know, I don't know what to tell you on that.
Coach, KJ had a filthy one-hand pick. The previous week, he dropped a couple. Was he on the jugs machine this week? Or, I mean, what did he do to kind of help that situation?
I took him on the sidelines and did a little work with his hands, you know, catching the ball and all that. Got him squared away. Shoot, man. No, he's got great hands. He really does. He's got great catching ability. And it was hard for him. I mean, it was such a cool way for a statement that he makes because everybody was on his butt all week long making fun. And I told the coaches, shoot, maybe we shouldn't even talk about it. Give him a complex about it or something, and so to make that catch in that statement, you know, to just let everybody know that Spider-Man is back, was pretty cool.
Well, let's listen to that play right here.
Cousins is going to roll right. He's going to look. The ball is intercepted. KJ Wright reaches up about 13 feet in the air and pulls it down. What a play by number 50. He had three of them a shot at last week and didn't bring one in that time. A fabulous one-handed interception by the Spider, KJ Wright. What a big play in the Seahawks again in scoring territory against the Vikings.
Good call.
It was fantastic. That ability to change, we call it momentum. I'm not sure if that's kind of how you guys would refer to it. But within a game, when all of a sudden you have a flurry of plays and you're able to capture that going forward, what did that feel like on the sideline last night?
Oh, it's so much fun. It's so exciting because you can just feel all of it happening, you know, and you know what it means too. You know, I had made a big deal at the halftime that, you know, we got to be patient. It's going to take a while to get back in this game. And they just said, no, that's not it. We're going to do it in a minute and 50 or whatever, and we'll get roaring back in it. So it was just thrilling. And again, one of those are the moments that the stadium has been so berserk about in years past. And I'm sure everybody's going crazy at home and enjoying the heck out of it.
What impressed you most when it comes to DK Metcalf's performance, making clutch plays, the touchdown catch early, the 4th-and-10 reception, and, of course, the game-winning touchdown reception?
I think that the consistency that Russ kept coming back to him, you know, down the stretch, I don't know that that was what he was trying to throw the ball to DK, but the opportunities kept going his way. And, you know, 4th-and-10, man, that's a pretty big-time play right there now for both those guys to come through on. That belief in your players as the quarterback is really important, and you can see it. Russ really wanted to see that play, you know, that we ran at the end to give him all the options that could happen, and he knew that he would have his guys crossing, and he wanted to, you know, get a shot at it. And that was an incredible play, by the way, to get in the ball to DK because the guy was right in his face, the defensive lineman, and so it was amazing commitment to his partner, you know, and that's what you could see.
Coach, you guys were down two scores for the first time this year at halftime. What's that locker room like? Is it the same, or do you talk a bit more? Are you consistent with your message? What's that locker room like
at halftime?
Yeah, at halftime.
Yeah, well, no, that it, there is a yeah. We do we have a way that we talk about it when we look like garbage in the first half, you know, and that comes up every couple times a year where you just don't get going, and so we have a whole way of dealing with it, and we kicked right into it, and there's the stuff that we say and the expectations we try to set and the style that we want to go about, and we have, certainly we want to take advantage of the opportunities, but we want to not let that score affect the way you operate. And so if anything, we want that to kick us back into the fundamentals and the back into the textbook way of playing football so that we can give ourselves a chance. Because, you know, this worrying about 13 points is a waste of time. There's nothing to do about it. We got to go score, and then we got to go score again, and then we got to score. You know, there's a lot. It takes a long time usually. Unusually in that game, it happens so fast in a flurry, but it's to get your mentality right to handle those, and I'm always worried about them over-trying too hard, too fast, and pushing the issue when we screw it up that way.
You mentioned over-trying, and I think that's one of the first things that I learned from your approach and how you coach, especially in close games, that you don't want guys thinking like, okay, this is the moment I've got to be better than I've ever been before. You don't want someone thinking like, this is the time that decides it. You want sort of a calm and confident and believing that they've been able to do that and been there before. It seemed like both in the third quarter coming back from that deficit and then in those final 2 minutes that your team exhibited exactly that, Pete.
Yeah, that was championship poise. That really was. It was a championship illustration of the coming out at halftime and turning the thing. And then we lose the lead and we got to come back and do it again. Really both sides of the ball had to find the way. And they did, and that's that calm allows you to function at a really high level. That's the quieted mind that we're looking for, where you just don't have a bunch of distractions going on, because that's what everybody deals with. And Russell is phenomenal at it. He's as good as anybody in sports. It's showing how to come through at the end of the opportunities. And it comes from a confidence. It comes from being there. And it comes from that poise that allows you to be available for those moments to excel.
You mentioned that quiet, that calm, and you opened last night's press conference talking about how you wish that there had been some people there. And obviously right now with COVID-19, who knows when things are going to open up here, and it's out of your hands. Have you heard anything potentially about that CenturyLink field having some people in the crowd by the end of the year?
No, nothing officially or specifically, but there's been a little conversation that there's hopes that maybe by the end there'll be some opportunities. I hope we can do something like that, but we just have to wait and see how it goes. We got to do the right thing, obviously.
Coach, you guys were 0-for-7 on third downs. If I would have told you before that game, all right, Coach, you're going to be 0-for-7 today on third downs. You think you're winning this ball game?
Not usually. Not usually. Either that, you must be hitting a lot of big ones if you're going to win that way. 0-for-3 in the first half. I think the first three first downs were 3rd and 22, 3rd and 16, and 3rd and 24. Okay, well, that's, you want to know why the game was like that? Well, that's because we were in those third down situations, and we were responsible for them, but that's what screwed up, our chance. We needed to answer the drives that they had. Fortunately, with all of the time of possession they had, they only had 13 points. And when it's under that two touchdown thing, it just feels like it's not that big a deal. That's how the game was so turned. I think our second drive of the game for our offense started at 8 minutes in the second quarter, the second time we had the ball. So, they couldn't have done better. They played perfectly against us, I thought, and to keep us, our firepower, on the sidelines and control the football and get their points. I thought we're playing a perfect game. It's a really good team. They're a hard team to deal with, and we've always known that. And so that's not a surprise. It's just unfortunate that we put ourselves by getting sacked. And the sacks really came. Russ held the football, and then we had a little mistake that happened. And before you know it, shoot, our opportunities were over. That's why, to me, that you don't even evaluate the first half of this game. Just throw it out the window and let's start again, and that's how we dealt with it at halftime.
What changed for you guys in the second half? What did you do better?
Everything. We controlled the ball. We made big plays. The defense, took the ball off them a couple of times. The turnovers were great. We answered beautifully on all three turnovers or sudden change situations that happened. We scored. We just played – again, we played really complimentary ball. We needed the plays. We got the plays. We answered them, and then – you know, what great suddenness to score with on DK's touchdown on the post, and then also on the run by Chris, just sends the statement. You know, I think that's the coolest thing about this game is as well as the Vikings had played, and ideally they had played against us. It happened so fast when it turned the other way. It felt like, okay, you know, now you know why, you know why you know you got to come here and get ready to play, you know, play the Seahawks, and that was really cool that happened.
The first of those plays the defense was making was that DeMontre Moore strip sack off the edge. He also killed a guy on a kickoff return in this game. What did you make of his performance?
This is a guy that plays with what we refer to as a great motor. He plays so darn hard. It's why Larry Izzo, you know, had him back, I think, in his old Giants days when he was first. I think they drafted him back in New York, and he had him as a covering kicks on the kickoff team as a defensive lineman for specifically that to happen. I mean, he knew in his back. Larry had been talking about it for a long time that this guy, if we keep him out there, he's going to make a play. And sure enough, that was just a total bolo shot. It was so exciting to see that, because that was at the end of the run of all that stuff that had happened. It was just like one more statement, you know, we're here for real. Anyway, so he's doing a good job, and he plays really hard, and he's got it's really about his special effort that he has, that he gives us.
Hey, Coach, it seemed like in the second half, you guys let Ryan Neal get after that quarterback a bit more. Talk about his performance, practice squad guy. I was a practice squad guy, so I'm always rooting for dudes like him to have good games to perform.
Yeah, he did play well again. You know, you could see us activate him a little bit. Kenny got some nice calls in there. We got to come off the edge, and he was a factor. Really, the four or five times he pressured in the game, we got some good results out of it. And you can see why early in the season, when you saw Jamal doing those things, you know, you saw him be such a big factor in the games too. Anyway, Ryan's doing really well. He's jumped in and been a great, you know, greatly represented, you know, the style of play and the level of play. Made a good play in the end zone on a ball wheel right up the sidelines. Had a couple plays that he wants to do again. But all in all, he has just done a marvelous job coming off the bench for us.
We're talking to Pete Carroll. The Seahawks are 5-0 for the first time in team history. An incredible, thrilling game, and each one of these three home games come down to the final minute, all decided in the north end zone, which I've decided is the end zone of destiny. That's where all the incredible stuff happens.
It's where Jake Hollister's corner is, too. You know, Jake's got a little corner down there he's developing.
It's fantastic. DK Metcalf. On the game-winning touchdown, what turned out to be the game-winning touchdown, Chris Collinsworth said he ran that route like he wanted the ball. And it kind of seems redundant, like, of course a receiver wants the ball. But talking about the conviction he had, and it made me think of you telling us last year that DK is a true competitor, like someone who really he wants those opportunities and he wants to test himself.
Yeah, he now knows that they're coming. He's in the thick of it, and all that he could ever have dreamed for is happening. And he's got the quarterback that loves him and trusts him, and he's got the coaches that are getting him in the situations. And so he just has to grow into it. You know, there was a time, and I know they mentioned Jerry Rice in last night or something, and Russ had mentioned something about Joe Montana or whatever. There was a time when Jerry Rice struggled. You know, and Bill Walsh believed in him and kept him going. He dropped a bunch of balls in his rookie season. About halfway through it, you know, he started to come out of it, and then he just exploded in world-class all-time ever, you know, type of play. DK didn't have to go through that, but he's had his plays, you know, in the first year. Guys got the ball away from him a little bit, and he, you know, missed a couple balls, maybe in the Philadelphia game that he had a chance in that first time we played those guys. He's had some disappointments, and he's going to continue to have to deal with those, but he'll deal with them less and less and less. And he is developing into really a real factor on the team. And it couldn't have been more obvious the way he and Russ were hooking up last night. And they didn't hit them all, you know, but you knew you better watch out because he's coming to them. And so that'll give us a real positive factor as we go forward, because other teams are going to have to deal with that. And that lets other things become available. And so we'll try to, you know, be able to balance that thing out.
We know how competitive DK is. Jaron Reed in particular looked especially competitive last night, especially in the first half, making some big plays. What was it about his performance that allowed him to have the game he did?
Well, you know, sometimes, you know, you call yourself out, you know, and he spoke to the defense the other night, Saturday night, and Kenny had called him up to talk to him, and he had a little video that he wanted to show, and he had a lot to to challenge the guys with. And so when you do that, you know, really good guys know that they're always challenging themselves, you know, I got to live up to it. It's like Bobby does week in and week out. You know, he's always challenging the guys, and he knows he has to go. I think that was it was a unique part of this weekend that Jarrett did some talking and said some stuff that, you know, he wanted to be, and he wanted our guys to be, and why not us kind of thing. That's really when you set the stage for yourself. You know, he had to live up to it, and he did. He did a great job. He was a terror all night long.
Coach, there was a play late in the game where I felt DK caught the ball, got in, scored the touchdown, but I guess didn't finish the catch towards the end of the game, but it was right before the his touchdown catch. Did you think about challenging that? Did you get an explanation for why that wasn't a touchdown? Because I thought it was.
No, we were within 2 minutes there, you know, so we can't challenge the play, right? And you know, the red flag's gone, you know, then once we're under 2 minutes. But that was really close. You know, I could see why the guy called it a touchdown. He saw him. He caught the ball. And there was a couple steps that happened, and that guy said, that's a touchdown. And then the other guy, you know, the back judge saw it differently. But had they just stuck with the touchdown, I think it would have been a touchdown. You know, because they would have had to overrule, because then they would have replayed the play, and because every scoring play has to get replayed, then they would have taken a look at it. I think it might have been upheld. It could have gone the other way, though. It was that close. You know, you can't tell. So it was a really nice play by the defender, and it was a great throw and catch design. Everything was perfectly, and that guy made a better play at the end of it. But it really did stress the refs, and I just wish that they would have decided in that discussion between the two of them. I called it a touchdown. Let's let the replay take over here and to get the right call. You know, that's an actual decision they could have made. If you think about that, they say we could, if we call this the touchdown, then we'll get the right thing, you know, stated by the booth. When here we are, we don't know. They went against it, and that didn't happen, you know, so there is no replay. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
It worked out better for you guys, though. Because then they only had 15 seconds.
Well, that's right.
Back.
We burned some more clock. We were trying to burn that clock down. Now we don't want to give them a shot.
It was a textbook. It was a textbook game management. How you guys did that 94-yard drive. I want to go back to the 4th-and-1 play. It's coming out of the 2-minute warning. Their choice is, hey, do we kick a field goal? And in which case, you guys would need a touchdown and a 2-point conversion to tie, or they go for it, essentially trying to win the game right then. When they line up to go for it, what do you want your team feeling in that moment? How do you want your players feeling?
Those are the moments. Just like we've had the moment on the goal line, you know, earlier in the year against New England. Those are the moments that are the most memorable as a defensive player, because everything is at stake and everything's on the line and all the intensity. That's where the crowd would have been screaming at the top of their lungs, you know, and all of that energy and juice would have been focused right to that very moment. And our guys kicked down in there. They're ready for the sneak, and both linebackers, Cody, made a great scrape to turn the ball to Bobby, and a phenomenal job by Benson Mayoa when you really dig in and look at what he had to do to throw his body at that play. Made that all happen. But what I want them to, this is, you know, this is where you got to let it go now. You got to let it rip and go for it and take your shot and all that. All that mentality is something that we are preaching for those moments. You know, like, don't be inhibited now. Don't hold back now. Don't be conservative now. Yeah, take your shot and see if you can get it done, because they only got to make a foot, you know. And so you just can't play in a normal fashion. You have to go for it in a different mentality.
This is such a weird season. You guys are heading into the bye week. How do you want your players to handle the bye week, obviously, in the midst of a pandemic?
This is a crucial time for us. It's crucial because this is the first time we've had a week here where the guys are going to be on their own. Now, guys still have to test every day, so we're still connected in that regard. And I would imagine a lot of guys will work out and they'll be around the facility and all, because they can't go home, they can't take off and all of that. So this is the first bye week for anybody. Is that right? Anybody else had their bye yet? I think the teams that were sick or something maybe got some time off. But this is the first for us official bye break ever in COVID season. Okay, so we've never done this before. So I like having everything prepared. We've already been there before and we know what it is, and now we're doing it. Well, this is when we can't, you know, so we have to kind of orchestrate this thing. So what we need is guys to have an extraordinary conscience again in every single step, every moment of their days orchestrated so that they can't put themselves in harm's way. And I know everybody wants to do that, and we'll be preaching the heck out of it, and the leaders will be preaching the heck out of it, and anybody who makes some sense of this mess we're in will work to get that accomplished.
Coach, what are your nights like after a game like this? I watch a game, I go home, I can't sleep until 2 a.m., 3 a.m. I'm so jacked up. I would imagine it's kind of the same for you.
I made a real rookie error last night. I screwed up. I always watch the, I go, as soon as I get home, I sit down and I've got my iPad going, so I'm watching the offense and the defense as it's coming off, as the TV copy's going, I'm watching it all at the same time. And, The first half sucked so much in terms of there was nothing there. I ripped through the first half, and so my time wasn't balanced right. So it was about 12:30 or something like that, and I thought, screw it, I'm not going to finish the defense. I'll do it in the morning, and which I never do. I never do that. and so at 2:45, I'm looking at the clock. I'm thinking, crap. Get up. So I get up and I go back sitting on the couch, go back to look at the defense, because I hadn't I always have to resolve it in my mind, whatever, good or bad, but I got to get through it so I know where, and I didn't do that. So it was just, I was tormented in my attempt to sleep for the first two hours I was sleeping, and so I just got up, and about 4:40 I was back in bed. I remember my time frames took me a while, but that's just how it is. And you know, as much as I would like to get a good night's sleep and all that and take care of me and all that, I don't give a crap. It's so much fun to be working on the game and getting ready for the next day and all that stuff. Okay, so you're going to be tired. What the heck? Go for it.
it was an amazing game. Pete, last question for you. This is a bummer news yesterday about Dan Quinn in Atlanta, which we were all disappointed for. And people understandably have a lot of love and affection for him, having been here for a couple of different stints. Sure. Also, just there's kind of the interesting question whenever something like that happens about whether or not he'd potentially come back. So I guess I'd ask you, is that something you'd explore with Dan either now or in the future?
I haven't even talked to Danny yet, and it all happened. I mean, we heard the news kind of leaking out. So I haven't talked to him yet. I don't know what he's thinking. My first thought is, what's good for Dan, to help him get through this, and if there's something we can do to help him, we'll talk about whatever. But it's a tough deal, and he'll be the first to tell you, they went 0-7 last year and then went 6-2 in the second half of the season and turned their season around, but they went 0-5, that's hard to live with. Unfortunately, that's what it comes down to, and he's a great football coach. He's a terrific person and we love him and all that. So we wish him the best. It's a hard time for him.
Pete, that was so much fun to watch. It is incredible what we've seen your team do. 5-0, and I think everybody can use a break, but we got to toughen up because the 11 games after this aren't going to
exactly
get any easier.
Right. That's right. It ain't going to get any easier now. We got to get tough. So sorry that it's been hard on those that are really
no apologies.
That are really dreading it. But like I always suck it up. You got to get ready for it.
Congratulations, Pete.
All right. Thank you, guys. See ya.